It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome into the Virtual Bible Study. This is the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, July 29th, 2010. We're live on your computer tonight. We're glad that we're there, and we look forward to hearing from you. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, joins me on the program tonight. Dad, welcome to the program.
Jacob, great to be with you. We look forward to our discussion tonight. We're a little late getting started because we had, again, some technical difficulties. They're still saying Ustream is down, Jacob.
All right. Well, we'll keep trying that. And maybe they can let us know if we get anything back there. You want to take three?
Yeah, let's take three. Oh, wait a minute. Anthony's saying he's got it now.
All right. Well, we're
back. Let's start over again.
All right. We're back on the program. We've had some technical difficulties, and it's ironic that we had technical difficulties on this. What is beginning our sixth year of, I guess, technical difficulties. We started technical difficulties 6 years ago, or 5 years ago. We're starting our sixth year of the Virtual Bible Study.
Yeah, we're sort of planning a little anniversary episode of the Virtual Bible Study. We've been doing this for 5 years on every Thursday night, and we've gotten a lot of good out of it, Jacob. I hope others have. We've reached out to a lot of people. A lot of people have listened to various episodes of the Virtual Bible Study. In fact, as we look to some of the statistics on the webpage, we find that in total, various episodes of the Virtual Bible Study have been downloaded almost 400,000 times.
400,000, that's right.
Pretty amazing.
That's right.
Of course, at the start, we were audio only. Sometimes I wish we still were audio only, because as we've tried to get more into the video aspect of the Virtual Bible Study, we've had more and more difficulty, as we've had tonight. Hopefully we can get all that pinned down where we can get a consistent start. We haven't had that lately.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you talk about those starts back in the days of the audio only. We've got the audio from the very first edition of the Virtual Bible Study, from the beginning of that 5 years ago. As we began.
Jeff's on the soundboard. Jeff, play that for us.
Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome into the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're here. We hope you'll stay tuned. This is the first go-around for the Virtual Bible Study. My name is Jacob Gwynn. I'm joined by my co-host, my father, Greg Gwynn. Hello, Dad.
Hello, Jacob. Glad to be with you tonight.
And I think we got you. Try that again.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Phil, do you got that? We're also joined by a good friend of ours, Phil Hunt. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Jacob. It's great to be here. I'm looking forward to this time that we can study the Bible with those listening, and we hope that this time this evening will be profitable for those listening to the program.
Well, it is the Virtual Bible Study, Dad. Let's give them a quick rundown of what we're doing here. What are we talking about here when we talk about the Virtual Bible Study? What are our goals with this program?
Well, first and foremost, obviously, what we want to do is just study the Scriptures. And we hope we can get some people listening by way of the Internet. Of course, it's a new medium, and so we're going to have to build a listening audience. But we have the potential to talk to people literally all around the globe. And so we hope people from all different countries, places, cities, states will be listening and give some attention to the things that we're talking about week by week. We're going to try to do this every week. We're going to try to spend some time just looking to the Word of God and find out what's there for us to live our lives by.
And we're just talking about the truth of the Bible here. We're not going to talk about any denominational creeds. You can leave your creed books closed up. We're not going to look at them. We just want to look at the Bible, because that's where we believe absolute truth can be found. If it's truth, it can be found in the Bible, and that's what we want to look at.
That's exactly right. I hope that as people listen to the program, one of the things that they'll be impressed with is that we're not just going to be giving our opinions. If we're just giving our own personal opinions, people have no more reason to listen to us than anybody else. Everybody has their own opinions. I hope that we'll be able to impress people that we're going to be going to the Bible, looking to the Scriptures as the basis of authority for religious belief and practice. That's what we're trying to do, is go to the Scriptures, understand them, put them into practice in our lives.
And it is a call-in program. You can call and participate in the program. The number to call is 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567.
Well, that was the beginning 5 years ago.
The
audio was a little bit choppy there, and that's the way it sounded in real life. We had a little bitty mixing board and a computer that was barely hanging on, and that's pretty much what we had.
So basically what you're saying is we've just been hanging on by the skin of our teeth from the very start until tonight.
Right. We haven't gotten anywhere farther away from the edge of the cliff, but we're trying, and we're getting there slowly.
Yeah. What we planned for our discussion tonight, Jacob, was to look at the top 10 most listened to episodes of the Virtual Bible Study over the last 5 years, with the idea that this sort of constitutes an unofficial or thumbnail sketch survey of the kind of things that have been most interesting to people, the kind of things that people thought were most important to listen to be informed about, the kind of things that people thought they wanted to study, perhaps with the idea that they themselves also want to be able to talk about those things to other people. So it gives us an idea of the kind of subject that people want to study, gives us maybe some help in planning future editions of the Virtual Bible Study, but also just shows the kind of things that are most important to people.
All right, and so we look forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. You asked some questions of the update list earlier today.
Yes, earlier today I put out to the update list, what are the top episodes in your mind in your opinion, what past programs were most important, interesting, necessary, helpful, etc., with an explanation as to why. And number two, what suggestions can you offer to improve the Virtual Bible Study as we continue? And I've got some feedback on that, and I left it in the other room. I have to get it when we get to our first break. We'll get to some of that feedback.
All right, and we'd like to hear from you on the program. What program in the past 5 years sticks out the most in your mind, is the most memorable, and what are some suggestions you would have to improve the Virtual Bible Study? Other than the technical problems, we still are working on those, and we are aware of those, I think. On the format and the structure of the Virtual Bible Study, what are some ways to improve the program? You know, I thought it'd be funny if we could. I thought about it'd take a long time, but we go back through the past 5 years and just put together all the little clips of us saying, "Oh, there's a technical problem. Oh, there's a technical problem." That probably would take the whole hour.
Oh, we've lost the stream. How many times have we said we've lost the stream?
All right.
You know, Jacob, one of the And our listeners, probably wouldn't relate in their memory banks as to an interesting episode, but the one that maybe stands out in my mind most of all as regarding making it work technically was the time that we were on the road coming back from Mississippi. We had been down there with some other Christians from Middle Tennessee helping out with repairs for some of the brethren in Pascagoula, Mississippi, who had suffered a lot of hurt from Hurricane Katrina. And we were on our way back, and we stopped at the side of the road, literally, and hooked up a laptop computer, and through your cell phone, we linked up and were able to get a program on the air sitting under the parking lot light in a parking lot. And to me, that was the most amazing as far as being able to technically get something done.
We had fewer technical problems then.
Yeah, we actually didn't have any glitches that night.
Yeah, so lots of programs. So what are some that are memorable to you? We'd like to hear from you on the program. You know, there's 261 hours of virtual Bible study programs in the book. 261 hours. You know, a lot of people listen to the program while they're at work. You could line those programs up at work and listen for, if you work 40 hours a week, you could listen for 6.5 weeks every hour of the day while you're working to the Virtual Bible Study. 6.5 weeks.
And a lot of people do listen on the archives, and we appreciate that, and we're glad that that provides an opportunity that people can listen. We love live listeners who participate. We understand sometimes people can't. We've even got people listening from the other side of the world who they'd have to be up in the middle of the night or very early in the morning to be listening to us live, but they listen. Just last week we heard from Peter in England, who's soon to be moving to Australia. He told us in his email he has to listen to the archives now, but when he gets to Australia, I think he said he could listen at lunchtime, listen live when he's living in Australia. So we just, a lot of people listen by the archives, and that's a good thing, too, and we appreciate that.
All right, we got a listener here who says he listens on his bicycle at 6 o'clock in the morning, so we're glad that we appreciate you doing that.
In the chat room.
All right.
Good.
So let us know how you listen, how long you've been listening, where you listen from, We'd like to hear from you on the program tonight. Maybe you don't have any comment about the scriptures that we're talking about tonight, but just like to let us know you're out there. Do that. Join in on the program. We'd like to hear from you on the phone tonight as well. Give us a call. It's toll-free, 877-381-4567.
And we're getting some people in the chat room already commenting on episodes that they liked. Anthony mentions the one 2 weeks ago where we talked to a Presbyterian preacher. He mentions the interview with Shirley Phelps Roper that we're going to talk about tonight. Dan Barker, we're going to talk about an interview we had with him, who was an atheist. And he mentions some discussions with a Catholic apologist that we had, and he mentions that. So, Anthony, I think there, Jacob, is indicating what I see as a trend in some of the responses we got. The people really like those interview programs where we have someone on either live in person or live via the telephone, and we have an interview with someone on a topic. Sometimes an interview with people that we agree with, sometimes interviews with people we disagree with, But I think that most of our listeners are suggesting that that's the kind of thing they especially like.
Those are beneficial because we get to see both sides of the argument,
yeah,
and can compare the two with what the scriptures teach to see which is true. And so we enjoy those as well on our end as well.
That's right.
All right. Well, we have...
Let's take a quick break and then get started into our top 10.
Let's do that. We're a little bit off on our breaks due to our technical problems, but we hope that you will take a minute during the break to give us a call or send us an email. Let us know you're out there. We'll take a break and continue the discussion right after this.
This is Jared in Warwickshire, England.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
This is Jared in Warwickshire, England. Listen to the chat from the virtual Bible study each Thursday night.
My name is Rick Harris, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study. I hope you'll join me and many others in this weekly Internet Bible study group. Be sure to listen every Thursday night.
And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Colossians 3:17. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the virtual Bible study tonight. As we talk about the past 5 years on the virtual Bible study, we're beginning our sixth year tonight, and we've compiled a list of the 10 most downloaded virtual Bible study programs over the past 5 years, and we're going to use those as a basis for determining what's on people's mind, what are people interested in from the scriptures, and we'll talk about them, and we'll take your thoughts on the most memorable virtual Bible study program in the past, and ways you think that we could improve the virtual Bible study. We'd like to hear from you on the program tonight.
In the chat room, Mayberry111 says the show on language and swearing. He liked that one. Anthony mentions one that we did on movies that had a lot of participation from the audience. And this is interesting, Jacob. It was mentioned we need an iPhone app, and I think John in Oklahoma says there is a Ustream viewing app for iPhone and iPad. That's pretty interesting. Those who are into that sort of thing could actually maybe watch on their iPhone.
And yes, and I understand you can do that going down the interstate with those kind of things.
Great.
Yeah, so I hope we're not responsible for any wrecks, but yeah, that's a good way to use your phone for that.
Jacob, we were talking about interview programs being popular. Aaron sends in from Texas and says, Jacob and Greg, first I wanted to say that I appreciate the work you guys have put into this. I have really enjoyed the virtual Bible study over the past 5 years. The programs I've enjoyed the most and the ones where I've learned the most were the ones where you had live guests, even on the phone, who actually hold positions that I don't agree with, Calvinism, homosexual marriage, whatever. In my experience, it's usually hard for a position to be accurately explained by somebody who doesn't hold that position, and so I think we sometimes hear a lot of straw men in preaching on some subjects just because we don't really understand how a person could believe something so different from what we believe. So I like hearing proponents explain why they hold their positions. Of course, having a live guest who differs with you is probably a harder program to prepare for, even if you're going to let the guest do a lot of talking. So Aaron, I think we agree with him. We get a better view of what people think. Just as an illustration, the program from a couple weeks ago, where we interviewed a Presbyterian preacher about the question of homosexual marriage and ordaining homosexual ministers in the Presbyterian Church. A lot of people have commented to me that that was so enlightening to actually hear him in his own words explain his religious position. It really gives you a real good picture of where those people are religiously, much different than where we are religiously, but we need to know that.
All right. Brad echoes those sentiments from Athens, Alabama, where he says, I enjoyed the discussions you had with the two brethren who support church-sponsored recreation August 10th, 2006, and church-sponsored benevolence to non-Christians September 14th, 2006. Brad's got a good memory. Both of those programs were something of an informal debate, and there was a lot of scripture, best I can remember, on both sides. I enjoy the challenge to my beliefs. It makes me aware of the arguments in favor of things I disagree with and helps me to hone my arguments against such. Maybe it's just the attitude you guys have, but it seems that these less formal debates, conversations really, that you have across the table don't get as caustic as a formal debate in which one guy stands up and talks for 20 minutes and then another guy stands up and talks for 20 minutes. Other than that, it's difficult to single one program or type of program out. There are few programs where I don't learn at least one new thing. Please keep it up.
You know, in regards to those interviews we've done and what Brad mentions there, one of the things that we try to do when we interview people, Jake, and we've done this pretty consistently in the interviews we've had, is we try to let them have time to say what they want to say and explain their position as thoroughly as possible, because that's what we really want to know. We want to know where they're at. Very often, we have come back sometimes the following week and then reviewed those interviews to give a more thorough biblical response to what they said if it was something we disagreed with. But if we were to stop someone, we're going to talk about the interview we had with Shirley Phelps Roper, of the Westboro Baptist Church. We're going to talk about the interview we had with Dan Barker, who was an atheist. If we stopped them every time they said something we disagreed with, we'd get nowhere. They would not be able to explain themselves. We wouldn't get a real picture of what they believe and so forth. So we've tried, and we're not perfect interviewers by any means, but we've tried in those interview opportunities to give people enough chance to say what they want to say to really explain their position as thoroughly as possible.
Okay. Along those lines, though, Brad does give us constructive criticism. He says anytime you have someone on, Mr. McCullough, for instance, that was a few weeks ago.
With the Presbyterian preacher.
Uh-huh. It is something of a debate, but many times there's little scripture. I realize that there is little you can do to force your guests to cite scripture. I also realize that sometimes guests cannot stay the entire hour. So for the 20 minutes or so you have them, you have to fire as many questions as possible and then examine their answers later. I say all that to say that when you have guests with opposing viewpoints, I'd like for them to stay the whole hour so that you have time to go back and forth with scripture. You do a good job, by the way, of challenging guests for scriptures to support their views. I think having them for the entire hour will give you time to do more of that.
Right.
So that's true. We do sometimes have trouble keeping the discussion centered around scripture.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes they've got such far out views that it's hard to pull them back in. But we can do better about that.
All right. Let's go to our top 10 list and talk about, just sort of give a thumbnail sketch of some of the things that people saw as most interesting.
All right. I will make a note. If you're in the chat room tonight, you don't have to have a username to comment. You can comment anonymously tonight. Just type your comments there in the chat window and send them in. Let us know where you're listening tonight, if you would. We'd like to hear from you. All right. The top 10 list, the top 10 most downloaded virtual Bible study programs from the past 5 years.
Let's start with number 10. We'll work up to the most.
You're going to start with me. Number we broke these up.
You're going to do the even numbers.
We're going to go from the bottom up.
Start with number 10.
All right. The first program, or the number 10 program that was downloaded in the past 5 years, was in a program we did on April 5th, 2007, an investigation of the religion of Islam. And we had
Andrew Roberts
on. He is somewhat of studied up on.
He's seriously studied on Islam and has written a book on it.
Okay, and we talked about their beliefs, and it is important that we had that discussion in the religious climate that we have today, because a lot of people today think, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe. You believe what you want to believe. I believe what I want to believe. We're all on different roads going to the same place. Some people will limit that to Christianity, so-called, but others will say it doesn't matter if you believe in Christ is your way to heaven. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you believe in Buddha or Hindu or if you believe in Muhammad. It doesn't matter. And so it's important for us to learn about this religion and be reminded of the fact that it does matter what you believe. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so those who are Muslim, who deny Jesus as being the Son of God, they will not be blessed with heaven when this life is over.
If words mean anything, and if Jesus, what Jesus said can be believed, then Jesus said you can't get to heaven by being a Muslim.
All right, and Jesus saw, or John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, that we need to be careful of prophets like Muhammad. In 1 John 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Muhammad's a false prophet. He's deceived very many in the world today. And
well,
we need
if you
to be
think about it, if you think about it, he's got to be a false prophet because he says Jesus is not the Son of God.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's no way that these two religions can coexist. There can be no peaceful toleration between them. I'm not talking about physical warfare. I'm talking about in regards to fellowship or joint participation of any kind, because by the very definition of a false prophet, Muhammad is a false prophet, and therefore the religion of Islam must be rejected. But we need to know. We need to know some of those basics. And like you, if you were going to pick out one verse, Jacob, that we as Christians need to stand on when we're discussing this issue, I think it'd be John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me."
Yeah, Jesus didn't tell us just tolerate everyone and everyone's okay. It doesn't matter. He says that you've got to believe in Him and you're going to come to the Father except by Him.
And I would really think, Jacob, that probably some additional programs on Islam would be appropriate, because that is certainly a hot button issue in the world today.
All right, and Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, beginning, as we think about the religion of Islam, and one way we know that it is not from God is by the fruits of it. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall you know them." We can know that the religion of Islam is not from God, looking at the fruits of it.
Exactly.
And so it was a good program back in April 5th of 2007 on the discussion of Islam. And that's been downloaded over 4,000 times.
There you go. The number nine. Let's look at number nine. The ninth most popular download of the virtual Bible study was what we called a debate, an atheism debate. We had a pretty prominent guest that night, Jacob, Dan Barker.
We did.
He's a preacher who has turned atheist. He's an author. He's written a book called Losing Faith in Faith. He has or had, I don't know if this network is even on the air anymore, but at the time we interviewed him back in 2008, he had a program called Free Thought America on the radio network called Air America, and I'm not even sure if Air America is on the air anymore.
Yeah, it was Free Thought Radio.
Free Thought Radio.
Right.
And
I think he's the president of the Free Thought Society.
He'd been interviewed on a lot of big national programs.
Yeah, about 6 months ago, I saw his wife being interviewed on Fox News.
Yeah, so he's a well-known atheist, and he talked with us for about 45 minutes on February 21st, 2008, and we talked about his view that religion is harmful, that really the majority of the ills that exist in the world today are due to religion, and he concentrated on the things that we would call the abuse of religion. And the point we tried to make with him was, when religion is accurately applied, when God's guidance is fully followed as described in the Bible, then religion is what the world needs. He was saying religion is what hurts the world, and we kept trying to point out to him, you're talking about the abuses of true religion, the kind that's described in the Bible.
It's a common ploy, though, that people who want to be anti-religion have, and because of the abuses, it gives them an excuse to have that reason to hold against religion, but it does not prove that religion is bad just because some may abuse it.
Yeah. In the course of that discussion, we went on to talk about how do we establish a standard of morality if the Bible, if religion in the Bible is not true and is actually should be discarded because it's hurtful to society, then what would we use as a standard of morality? And Dan Barker's expression was do no harm. That what we should do, we should all follow the guiding principle of do no harm.
I don't know how he gets to that.
That's what we ask. Where did that come from?
Right.
You know, if we are just an evolved animal, how did we really tried to press him on the question of how did we get to the point that we should be kind to others? Where did we? How did we develop the mentality to help those who are weak and sick and so forth? Why not just destroy them?
Right.
Because if we're evolved animals and we are continuing to evolve, we really want to get rid of the weak ones out of our gene pool so that we have a stronger gene pool to evolve to a higher level.
Right.
Of course, he wouldn't agree to that, but that served as a big inconsistency in his position. We also talked about how we got here with Dan Barker, and I think if when we're talking to atheists, I think taking them all the way back to the very basics is one of the things that is helpful in a discussion with an atheist. How did we get here? Is matter eternal, or did something or someone create the matter that exists in the universe? And then after you've talked about where did matter come from, how did life from non-living matter begin? The question of spontaneous generation of life. Again, evolutionists and atheists don't like to talk about that too much, but they have to really believe in both things. They have to believe that matter's always been here, although scientifically that is not supported.
Right.
And they have to believe that at some point in the distant past, life sprang forth from non-living matter. Of course, that's not scientific. That cannot be done scientifically. But they have to believe in both of those things, which are contrary to true science. And then in our discussion with Dan Barker, we also spent a good bit of time talking about the subject of irreducible complexity. An author by the name of Michael Behe wrote a book called Darwin's Black Box, and he sort of formalized an argument. It's been around for a long time, but he made it more recently popular, the idea of irreducible complexity. How did things evolve just a part at a time? How would that have happened? And we used the example of the eye. He thought it was a bad example. But how did the first elements of the eye begin to evolve when they were non-functioning?
Mm-hmm.
If they were non-functioning, why didn't the body just cast that off as an unusable appendage and try something else? For the eye to be there, it had to come together all at once,
like that, instantly.
Or it would have been discarded by the supposed evolutionary process. He didn't like that argumentation. He disregarded it. But I think that's, as we talk with atheists, I think that's one of the things we can press them about.
Irreducible complexity.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that was the number 9 most downloaded program of all time in the past 5 years. And the number to call is 877-381-4567, or send an email to questions@collegeu.com, or join in the chat room tonight. We'll take your most memorable program in the last 5 years. Let us know your thoughts. All right, the number 7 number 8 most downloaded program was from March 8th, 2007. It was a program discussing the addiction to pornography. I don't recall the gentleman's name that we interviewed. He was with, I think he was the president of some society in Memphis that was helping those who
helping counsel people who were addicted to pornography.
And it was an interesting program and a very good program, very straightforward program. And it was important because this problem of pornography is a problem that's rampant today, and it seems to be a problem that's increasing among those who are in the world and those who profess to be Christians as well. But it's not a new problem. And
when you say not new, how do you mean?
Well, okay, it has new avenues.
That would be the point I'd stress.
Yeah. All right, but the problem is not new. It goes all the way back. Well, we have reference to it in David's time in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. David had the problem of looking at Bathsheba when he should not have been. And so it's been a struggle throughout time.
Looking at things, if you're just going to generalize the subject of pornography to say looking at things you shouldn't be looking at.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Jesus condemned it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, by saying unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Jesus condemned it and tells us very plainly there that it is a sin. But again, it goes back to Old Testament times of this idea of looking at things that you shouldn't look at. The Proverb writer tells us repeatedly about this in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. The problem of sexual sins has been around.
Yeah, and the problem of lusting,
right,
which was sort of part and parcel of the subject of pornography. But I think most people, when they hear the subject pornography, would think that it is a more recent problem based upon the fact, as you said, the avenues by which these things are presented to us.
Okay.
Of course, I think there's been, in the history of art, if you look at a lot of stuff that's been done through the centuries, there's been a lot of lascivious portraits and so forth that have been made long before there was photography. Mm-hmm. But with the advent of photography and then the advent of broadcast media, print media, electronic media, there are all kinds of new avenues to get these illicit images before our eyes. I think we're under a greater challenge in our day and time than ever before in controlling our looking at things we shouldn't look at.
All right. But we see, and we saw with the interview of the gentleman that we interviewed on this program back in March of 2007, the destructive nature of it. And these sexual sins have been destructive throughout time. The proverb writer, again, warns us of that. And this man was telling us about the dangers. And
it's the fastest growing addiction, at least in our country, probably in the world. The fastest growing addiction is the addiction to pornography. And and as we discussed in that program, it is an accurate use of terminology to call it an addiction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we need to take a break, but one passage that's been used a lot on this is Job 31, verse 1. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I think upon a maid? Job had made the determination that he was going to be careful what he looked at, and everyone in society today, male and female really, need to be careful of what they see presented to them in the media. All right, we take a break. We're down through three of our programs.
We have to hurry up.
We have seven more to go and about halfway through the program tonight. We look forward to hearing from you. Let us know your more memorable editions of the Virtual Bible Study. Let us know ways that we can improve it to make it more effective. Let us know your thoughts. We'll take a short break.
And we're going to, by the way, it's our bullet point break, and we're going to go back to the very first bullet point that we ever did. I don't know what the date on that was. Jeff, you got the date on that?
February 7th of
2008. So okay. We've been doing a bullet point each week since February 7th of 2008.
All right. We'll take a break and continue right after this.
Are you listening? There's going to be a test on this stuff. Stay tuned. The Virtual Bible Study will be right back after this.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. Stock market investors have been nervously watching the daily news reports to see how their investments are doing. Even a slight increase or decrease in points can sometimes mean a gain or loss of thousands of dollars. And so those with money invested are very interested to know the latest market trends. While stock market investments can be a helpful tool in building up financial wealth, the scriptures teach us that our most important investments ought to be in a different realm. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Matthew 6:19-20. The reason for this emphasis on heavenly investments is obvious. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also," verse 21. We need to realize that having our treasures laid up in heaven has advantages now as well as in eternity. Not only will we reap the reward of a heavenly home forever, but we will also benefit in this life. If our investments are in spiritual things, we'll have a great ongoing interest in them. Just as a stock market investor watches the market closely, we will carefully watch how things are developing in our spiritual lives. There will be a tendency to do the things that will increase our heavenly stock, and we will be on guard for anything that could threaten our eternal well-being. And if we should begin to struggle in our service as Christians, others will be able to call us back by reminding us of our investment. Hebrews 10:32-37. So, Christian, how are your investments? Think about it. That's this week's bullet point.
I am Nestor Sanchez from Arica, Chile in South America, and I love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study. And this moment, I invite you to participate in this program too. That's it.
All right. We're back on the program tonight, and we appreciate you being out there, and we appreciate your work on the bullet points, Dad. We've been doing that for about 2.5 years now.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about a way to possibly use those bullet points additionally. We may bring out a plan to use those bullet points. We've got a lot of recorded bullet points we might be able to use in another way to encourage people. So we'll talk about that.
All right. We've got one person here and a couple people in the chat room tonight. One anonymous listener says, I like the addition to the bullet points. Mayberry 111 agrees to that. One listener there likes to hear Nestor Sanchez, who came back from that break on the back end of that break there. Yeah. From
Nestor, Chile. Nestor preaches in Arica, Chile. He also does a lot of preaching work in the country of Peru. He travels to Cuba.
They're a long way away from here, but they're in similar time zones where they can listen.
They may be in the same time zone. Very close.
Yeah, so it works out for him to listen on the other side of the world.
Yeah, on the other hemisphere.
Of the bottom of the world.
Yeah,
there. All right.
But we love Nestor. Nestor's a good friend, and the church here at College View has been helping to support Nestor in his preaching work for many years, so we appreciate him. When we do get to hear from him on the Virtual Bible Study.
We're asking you for your more memorable programs, and we're asking you for your suggestions on how to improve the program. Preston in Georgia sends in his suggestion. My suggestion would be to strive to have a greater Facebook and YouTube presence. The Facebook page has grown and continues to grow, but I think that it could be more to do in the group other than just invitations to the study. You can advertise on Facebook. With YouTube, you have to put some stuff, but the more you put on there, the better, and it will advertise itself. If you don't have a video, you can just, and it goes on and gives some suggestions there. Preston actually started the Facebook group on the Virtual Bible Study. Appreciate him for doing that.
You know, some of those short videos we put on YouTube have been listened to hundreds and thousands of times. Mm-hmm. Several thousand times on just a simple video we did on Do I Have to Be Baptized? So mm-hmm. we probably should follow Preston's advice and get a bigger presence out there on YouTube and probably Facebook as well. Jared in Cookeville, Tennessee writes and says he's watching tonight on his Droid app.
Okay.
And he says, I wonder how we'll be viewing the show 5 years from now.
Oh, that's true. You won't have a phone. It'll be implanted in your cornea there.
That's probably right.
You know, but we started the program because we couldn't, you know, we could give the history of the program. Now, we started the program because we couldn't find a radio station to let us on the air. We wanted to have a call-in radio program in Columbia. And so we had the idea to start an internet-only broadcast, and we really didn't have the foresight to see that the radio would be dying down and the internet would be going up. But we happen to be in the right spot at the right time.
Well, you think about how many people have listened to various episodes of the Virtual Bible Study over 5 years. We wouldn't have had near that kind of listenership on a local radio station in Columbia, Tennessee. So it turned out to be a good thing.
Right. Okay. Preston gives us his more memorable programs, How to Deal with Sin, How to Remain Faithful, Evolution versus Intelligent Design, God's Role for Men and Women, Choosing a Mate and Others. So thank you, Preston, for those.
Okay, thanks, Preston. Preston's been a listener from way back to the first days of the Virtual Bible Study. Thanks for being there, Preston. Real quick, we're looking at our top 10 most listened to. We're working up to number one. Number seven most listened to program was a review of the Shirley Phelps Roper interview. Many of our listeners, that name probably familiar to many of our listeners, Shirley Phelps Roper is with the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas. That's the group that goes around and protests at the funerals of servicemen who've been killed in Afghanistan or Iraq. And they believe that things are going bad in our country because God is mad at us because of tolerance of homosexuality and so forth, that he has, that God's wrath is coming down on America. God hates America. But they also have some very offensive signs that they hold up when they protest at the funerals of these servicemen.
In effect, say that God hates homosexuals.
Yeah.
God hates homosexual enablers.
And he hates America because we allow homosexuality.
Thank God for dead soldiers. Thank God for IEDs.
Yeah.
America is doomed.
Yeah.
All right.
And so we, again, here's someone that we interviewed on the Virtual Bible Study that's been on a lot of national shows. She's sort of the spokesperson for this Westboro Baptist Church. I think that church was started by her father, Fred Phelps.
Fred Phelps, right.
And this Shirley Phelps Roper is his daughter.
They go around to funerals of soldiers, making a ruckus, and lots of laws have been passed to keep them from doing that.
Yeah, that's right. Basically, what we talked with her about was Calvinism. That group is what you might call an ultra-Calvinist group. They believe in Calvinism at the extreme.
They are a consistent Calvinist.
Yeah, really. What they're doing is consistently applying the false doctrines of John Calvin. And they believe in ultimate predestination. Therefore, they don't think it's necessary for them to go out and try to appeal to people, to attract people. They're not interested in attract. Ms. Roper told us that she believes it is their role to pronounce God's judgment against the wicked world. They're not trying to convert people, because if you believe in Calvinism, right, you wouldn't need to. Because
they're already saved.
They're already saved, yeah, and they're going to be drawn by God, and they couldn't be lost if they wanted to be lost. And those who are not called and chosen couldn't be saved if they wanted to be saved. There's no use to be out there trying to preach a message that would draw people. That's contrary to the doctrine of Calvin. Now, there are a lot of religious groups that believe various aspects of Calvinism, but they're not consistent. This group is consistent in applying the doctrines of John Calvin, and as you listen to that interview and our review of the things that she said, it's really outrageous, some of the things she said. If I, real quickly, because we need to keep moving, if I'm talking to a Calvinist about the idea of some are chosen for salvation and others are chosen for damnation, I'd want to go to verses like 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, which says, God will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So if you're kind of building an arsenal to talk to people who believe that, I think very damaging doctrine of Calvinism and predestination, foreordination. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 is a great verse. Also 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, which says that God is not willing that any should perish. This is 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
All right. That program was on July or January 25th, 2007. Or actually, it was January 18th, 2007. We reviewed it on January 25th, 2007. Our review has been downloaded more than the actual interview itself. But both of those programs would be
that
good.
Was one of those cases where we let her do a lot of talking in that first program, and then the week after we reviewed what she said. Sure. We wanted to give her a chance to say what she wanted to say, and then the next week we tried to give a more thorough scriptural answer to the interview.
All right. The next most downloaded program is from April 19th, 2007, and it is about the time of year when this subject becomes more and more in the discussion. It is the subject of modesty, and surprisingly, that program has been downloaded almost 5,000 times from April 19th, 2007. The subject of modesty, Dad, is an important subject because of the society that we live in. Paul told us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not to be transformed to this world, and we get bombarded with fashion statements by the world daily, on a daily basis, and those messages, it appears, rub off on us as Christians over time. We begin to follow the trends of the world in their fashion,
yeah,
and a lot of immodesty.
I think what happens is, if you were to chart what happens, here's the world, as the world becomes more and more immoral and immodest, and Christians are not out here at the cutting edge of that, but we're allowing them to drag us along.
Right.
And so we become more tolerant, more calloused to worldliness and immodesty, and it's a problem. Christians really got to be on their guard.
Now, the problem is that our society today finds no shame in nakedness. But God says that nakedness is a shame throughout Scriptures, in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament. God tells us nakedness is a shame. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, using in a spiritual discussion, but using the physical as a basis to make the point, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, we read, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Jesus said that nakedness was a shame. Our society doesn't see it that way.
That's right. Nakedness has always been a shame, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And it still is today, but the world doesn't understand it. The Bible, I think, defines nakedness, and as Christians, we've got to stay far away from that sin of exposing your nakedness. You know, I think covering your nakedness is one point. Modesty is even a stricter rule.
We would reference you to that program that was, again, on April 19th, 2007, but just a few verses to help with that definition of nakedness. You might check Exodus chapter 28, verse 42, Isaiah chapter 47, verses 2 and 3, to get the definition of what God says is nakedness. But as you said, modesty goes beyond just covering your nakedness. And that is a modesty is a characteristic that is not very common in the world that we live in today. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes to Timothy, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Paul mentions two things there that many women today do not possess, and that is a spirit of modesty and of shamefacedness. What is shamefacedness as you understand it?
Well, it's the idea of being able to blush, to be able sure. to have a reasonable sense of what you shouldn't do.
Strong defines it as bashfulness towards men, modesty.
I think respectable timidity is one definition.
You know, you can think of some older women who have had that that propriety about them, and that is not present in many women today. And then also Paul tells Timothy there that women need to be adorned in modest apparel. Modest is decent, well arranged, appropriate.
Their
dress needs to be that. So that was a good discussion back on.
Let's do one more quickly, and then we get a final break here. We're running a little late because we were late starting with our issues at the start of the program. That was number six. Number five most downloaded program, evidence of the resurrection. And I want to read an email from Chris. I'm not sure where Chris is, but Chris writes concerning his. The shows he thinks are most important. He says the show on alleged contradictions of the resurrection, apologetic type studies are vitally important. Many people will hear snippets from TV about history, National Geographic, and so forth, spouting these types of problems with the scripture. If you're unprepared, this could possibly pose a tremendous stumbling block. Once you see the whole picture, these alleged contradictions disappear. And we've tried to thank you, Chris. We've tried to deal with some of those kind of evidences. Subjects and on this program from March 15th, 2007, we dealt with evidence of the resurrection. This program been downloaded almost 7,000 times. The thing that prompted us to talk about it at that time was that a documentary had just come out called The Lost Tomb of Jesus, and they were reporting that a tomb had been found. And they believed they had found the bone box or ossuary in which Jesus' bones were. In other words, the tomb of Jesus had been found and his bones had been found.
Imagine that.
Suggesting that he definitely was not resurrected. The director of that documentary, by the way, was James Cameron, who was the director or producer, director, I guess, of Titanic and most recently the movie Avatar. So he's a famous guy.
We've talked about him a few times in other references on this program.
Yeah, well, of course, this was not a new find. That bone box had been found 25 years before. Back in 1980, I think that bone box was found. And we just debunked the whole concept of that documentary. What we were trying to do is make sure that nobody had their faith shaken by the claims that they'd found the bones of Jesus. That just simply wasn't the case. When we're talking to people about the resurrection, we've studied that before. We don't have time to go too deeply into that tonight. But if I was to be asked, Jacob, if I have a chance to talk to someone to try to prove to them the resurrection, the argument that I'm going to make is...
One argument.
I'm going to give them one argument. Mm-hmm. The life of the apostles, the subsequent life of the apostles after the resurrection. Before the resurrection, they deserted Jesus. They were cowards. After the resurrection, after they saw Jesus, you couldn't stop them from talking about him, even under threat and persecution, and even with imprisonment and martyrdom, they never stopped talking about Jesus. How do we know the resurrection actually happened? Look to the apostles, the ones who saw it, who had firsthand exposure to it. Their example proves to us that the resurrection happened.
All right, we're going to take a break and go through the rest of the program after that, talking about the top 10 programs. Let us know your thoughts about your most memorable program or ways you'd improve the virtual Bible study. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
I'm Greg Gwynn, a host of the Virtual Bible Study. Thanks for joining us for tonight's program. The Virtual Bible Study is presented weekly by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Each week on the Virtual Bible Study, we simply engage in a study of God's Word in an effort to better understand it, better understand how God views us, and better understand what He wants from us in our lives. We're not studying any creeds. We're not studying any books written by men. We're just studying the Bible. And we're trying to study the Bible alone without any of our opinions or wisdom mixed in. We're only interested in what our Creator has revealed to us in His Word. We realize that we're fallible and cannot direct our own steps. As a result, what we think or feel doesn't really matter. All that matters is what God has said. So, that's what the Virtual Bible Study is all about. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Thanks again for joining us tonight, and we'll hope you'll make plans to join us every Thursday night for the Virtual Bible Study.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
Welcome back into the program tonight. We're glad you're part of it. We're going to the top of the hour and beyond if you're listening to us live, because we had a few technical difficulties at the beginning. We're talking about
late getting started
tonight. The top 10 most downloaded programs. The next is number 4 in line. Downloaded almost 7,000 times, a program from December 6th of 2007 on God's providence. And that's interesting. You can start to see as we get through these, some search engines maybe are finding us and on some of these. And this looks like one that would be a top searched item about God's providence. Certainly we believe in God's providence. God is in control of things here on the earth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it says that God causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. We see God being active in the world. God's not passive. God is active.
Yeah, God is not like a watchmaker who made the world and the universe, wound it up, set it in motion, then just backed off and let it run.
All right.
He's not like that.
No, he's not. He's controlling things on the earth, even controlling things in governments. He did it in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. He says here that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. God is in control of things on the earth. And that has some application to us. We talked about the applications in that program. It has applications to us as well. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we're told to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God's providence is in control.
And he's going to bless us.
He'll bless us if we'll do his will.
There you go.
All right. And so that was a program from December of 2007.
All right. The next one, with number 3 most listened to program from October 25th, 2007, downloaded over 9,000 times, a program we did on abortion. And again, this may be one that people are finding as they search on the internet. If you're talking to the abortionist, I'm going to make a couple of arguments that I think they can't answer.
Okay.
One from Exodus 21. You might note Exodus 21. Verses 12 and then 22 through 25, the death of an unborn was treated as murder. If you caused the death of an unborn child, it was treated as though you had committed murder under the Old Testament law of Moses.
Yep.
I think that makes a strong argument how God views the life of an unborn child. And then in the New Testament, it's interesting that the Greek word brephos is used to describe a baby in the womb. This is from Luke. Luke was a physician. In Luke 1, verse 44, and in Luke 2, verse 16. In Luke 1, verse 44, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, while John the Baptist was still in her womb, said, "The babe leapt in my womb." She used the word brephos. In Luke 2, verse 16, Jesus, as a baby in the manger, the word brephos was used, both of an unborn child and one born. Same word used.
Okay, that's from 2007, October 25th, 2007, if you'd like more of that discussion on abortion. The number 2 most downloaded program of all time is from August 23rd, 2007, been downloaded over 10,000 times. And it is God's plan for our happiness. We talked about God's plan for our happiness and the fact that God does want us to be happy, and that the way that we become happy is not by what most would think. Most would think if you want to be happy, you do whatever you want. You don't have any rules. You live by your own rules. We've showed that the Bible teaches it just the opposite of that. God's rules are for our best interest, because Proverbs 14, verse 27 tells us the ways of doing it your own way, the end of that way is death. But we also reference repeatedly Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. God is a God of love.
He didn't make his rules just to see how mean he could be and see if he could make it hard on us. He made his rules because he knows what's best for us.
Because he's a loving God, and he wants what's best for us. And therefore, If he gave us an instruction, it's for our good and it's for in our best interest. If we want to be happy, we'll follow his instructions.
All right. And the number one most listened to program is from this year, May 27th, 2010, a program we did on eternal security. Clay Gentry was our guest that night. As I remember that night, we had some pretty serious technical difficulties, Jacob.
Well, they're more common instead of less common.
But we had a good discussion of eternal security. Of course, that's the idea of once saved, always saved. It's a false doctrine. It's not true. If you're studying with someone who believes that, the verses we like to use, Jacob, Galatians 5:4, which says you can fall from grace. Hebrews 6:4-6, that talks about someone who's once enlightened and has tasted the heavenly gift, made partaker of the Holy Ghost, but then they fall away. Clearly describing someone, so that's if Hebrews 6:4-6 talks about someone could fall away. And then maybe the best one of all, 2 Peter 2:20-22, talks about someone being like a sow that was washed, returning to the wallowing in the mire, the dog returning to its own vomit again. Someone who's been saved turning back. Those verses are verses that the Calvinist, the person who believes in once saved, always saved, just can't answer.
All right. That's from May 27th of this year. It's been downloaded over 17,000 times already. That's an anomaly for it to be downloaded that much in that short amount of time. Somebody has found that program.
Yeah. Now, one thing before we get done here, one thing that I'd like to mention, Jacob, is that with 262 episodes in the book, including tonight's program, if you go to our archive page, that can serve as a fairly good resource of material if you're studying some Bible subject. Obviously, over 5 years and in 262 episodes of the Virtual Bible Study, we've talked about a lot of Bible subjects.
We've talked about a lot of subjects, so if you're studying about something, be sure to go to our website and search. But we haven't talked about all the subjects that we could talk about.
No, but before we pass from that, I would just like to suggest, go there if you're looking for something. We don't have a search engine on our webpage. Probably should put one on there. We never have done that.
We do need a little website redesign.
But if you hit Control-F, a lot of people will know this, hit Control-F, a window will pop up, and you type in the word you're searching for. And so if you were on that page, if you were on our archive page, did Control-F, then a window will pop up. If you want to look for abortion or baptism, type that word in, and then it'll go repetitively to each title on that page where that word is found, and it's pretty. It serves as a sort of a backdoor search engine.
Okay, and we have not talked about every topic that there is still to go. And we'd like your help in determining what topics still need to be discussed.
Chris, a little more on Chris's email. He said, I'd love to see more apologetic studies, the idea of evidences. Also, more studies on where the rubber meets the road type of things, such as how to strike up a study with people, what are some roadblocks we face when spreading the word and how to overcome them. Basically, some in-depth soul-winning studies. After all, the most important job we were given to do is to go and teach, so we should spend as much time as we can preparing and doing this activity. Another suggestion would be to open up a message board where people could post questions and other Christians could share their input. I realize this could be risky, but a board could be set in place that all messages would have to be approved by a moderator before becoming visible. That could cut down on the craziness. That probably would be a useful thing. I don't think we have time to do that, and I personally wouldn't want to put a message board out there that wasn't moderated, because like he says, people could put all kind of crazy responses on there that we would not want to propagate. So I'm not sure we can use that. Maybe somebody else can use that suggestion, but your idea on different studies certainly are helpful.
Johnny has a suggestion. He says his suggestion would be this, and he's made this suggestion before.
And others have too.
Offer your questions a week in advance to allow people a chance to respond. I know for me, by the time I get home from work and read your questions, the program has almost started, therefore not allowing time to respond. Johnny, we're sorry about that, but we have a problem. We would do that if we knew what we were going to talk about ahead of time.
We don't always have our planning. In fact, we very almost never have our planning that far out in the future.
Yeah.
There's two sides of that coin. If we put out our update too early, then it fails to serve the purpose of an update to remind people to listen. So it's kind of a two-edged sword.
And sometimes we need to talk about something at the last minute. And so We'll try to give you at least the day of warning, but we probably can't do much better than that just because of the mechanics of the program. Anonymous listener in the chat room says, I had received email notices of the program for over a year before I joined in last week and found that show interesting and used the discussion as a sermon illustration. So if you're listening in the archive version, maybe you listen to this program in the podcast version, you have not joined us live, we would encourage you to join us live where you can participate with other listeners. We think you'd find that beneficial. But if you cannot listen live and listen to us in the podcast version, we appreciate you being out there and being subscribed to our program as well.
Yes, and we hope that we'll be able to continue the virtual Bible study for the next 5 years.
Lord willing.
And your participation, your input, your listenership is vital to us being able to do that. So thanks for your help with the virtual Bible study.
Thank you for everyone who's helped and those who have filled in for us, those who've been guests on the program. Appreciate the elders.
The elders of the church here have been very supportive of this and the work that we do.
Literally, but one of our elders built our little desk here. Yeah, and
we've had to get more people involved as we've gotten more into the video aspects of the program. We've had to get more people involved tonight. Jeff's running the board. Thanks, Jeff, and others have helped. Anthony, Dan. So we appreciate the help of various ones here at College View who helped make the program possible.
Special thanks should go to our wives as well for being supportive.
Sometimes we refer to the live studio audience, which is typically our wives.
Right.
So we appreciate them for being patient. It's every Thursday night thing. So Thursday night is off the calendar for any other activities typically.
All right. Well, we appreciate you for being out there, and we appreciate the opportunity to study God's Word with you. That's what it's about, Dad. It's about having the opportunity to discuss God's Word, and this is a Bible study. That's what it's about, and so we're thankful for the opportunity.
Yeah, and we do appreciate everybody who helps us.
All right. Thank you for being out there. Please be back next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.